Hello and welcome to this week's Standing With Refugees podcast, and thank you for joining us. I'm Paul Hutchings, one of the founders of Refugee Support Europe, and this week I am talking to Natasha, who is the founder of Natasha Friedis, who's the founder of Needs List. Hi, Natasha.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Thanks for joining us. You have been a big supporter of what we're doing with your platform. Thank you very much for that, and thank you to all your supporters. What is Needs List?
Needs List is a marketplace where NGOs can list real-time needs from the field and donors can go on and meet those needs directly.
And it's fairly recent. I mean, that was, I think we just got involved in the last year or so, which is probably about the same time as you've been going. Is that right?
That's right. You were one of our first partners, actually.
What were you doing before you set up Needs List?
Prior to working on Needs List, I ran a training company supporting NGOs that wanted to tell their story more effectively through media. And I've always been active in this kind of tech for good sector. So I got very involved locally here where I live in France supporting refugees in 2015. And that's when the idea of Needs List really came about.
But you say the idea came about, but I mean, what did give you the idea?
Yeah, so actually what was happening is it was the fall of 2015, and it was really mass chaos, as you remember, I'm sure. So everybody really wanted to help, and the needs were changing so frequently, it was just impossible to keep up with it. So we had one family needed diapers, and somebody else needed a ride to the doctor, and every single day there were all these urgent needs, and I just started looking online because I figured there had to be some really simple, straightforward way of having a list, essentially, of what the needs were. And because often what was happening is five people would volunteer to meet the same need and everybody ended up getting frustrated and it just wasn't a good use of resources. So I couldn't find anything, and that's really where the idea came from. I ended up using a wedding registry and kind of hacking it for our local group here in France, and just to have kind of a list of real-time needs. And from there, I just started talking to more and more folks like yourself and other people working in grassroots aid to see if there really was, was I crazy or was there a demand for this kind of a platform.
Have you been working on your own doing this?
No, I haven't. I mean, I started off volunteering with a community called Prosper Community, which actually came out of Brighton, where you're from. I was one of the first people who joined on Prosper, and that was a community of tech workers trying to figure out how to apply tech resources to support refugees, alongside the Techfugees network. So I met a few people through that, and I reconnected with my co-founder at Needs List, Amanda, who actually had been my neighbor when I lived in Boston about 10 years ago. So we reconnected, and she and I are the ones who really kind of decided to just make a go for it.
What were the first steps?
The first steps were really user research. So as I said, I knew I had this very specific experience locally here in France, but I wanted to see what other people were experiencing. I knew that a lot of donors were sending containers, and I wanted to know how that was working. I had also packed a couple of containers myself, and as I was packing them, I just kept thinking, are people really going to need this by the time it gets there?
Yeah.
So Amanda and I spent a few weeks in Greece, just about a year ago. And, we went and visited the Help Refugees Warehouse in Thessaloniki, brought a group together in Athens. And, the more we talked, the more we were kind of horrified about how much waste was going on. Everybody was telling us anywhere up to from 50% to 2/3 of donations that were being shipped over were being discarded. So that's when we really got the idea of providing a way on Needs List for people to purchase goods, really providing kind of an e-commerce front for local suppliers. Because, we were seeing things like pasta being sent from the U.S. to Greece. It just made no sense. It was such a waste of money as well as an environmental disaster because you can buy pasta in Greece.
Yeah, and it helps the local economy, obviously, if you can buy it locally rather than sending it over.
Exactly.
So that's an interesting number on the amount of waste, about 2/3 of it. Now, is that because of what's being sent or because by the time it's got there, the need's moved on?
It's a combination of both. So if you think about shipping and packing a container, it usually takes a few months. By the time people start, you know, announcing what's needed, gathering it, packing it, sorting it, and then actually shipping it. It's always going to be a minimum of a couple months. So the needs change, but also, you know, there's just often communication that doesn't go so well, so people end up packing items that weren't really needed in the first place.
Yeah, we've had our fair share of those, for sure. I mean, I think this is why we try and ask for cash, because for us, mostly, it's being able to respond quickly is the most important thing. So when a need comes up, you know, we can just go and source it straight away. And I guess one of the things about your platform is that, you know, some people really want to give, but they don't want to give cash, they want to give a thing.
That's exactly right. So we completely understand the need for cash, and that's why all the groups on our platform also can receive cash donations. But at the same time, donors, especially because they're giving often globally and they're giving to organizations that are smaller, less known, that they feel more comfortable giving something much more tangible. So the kind of what we found that users really enjoy on Needs List is this, basically this experience of going shopping. And we saw a lot of this like before the holidays, is people will be adding items to their cart to support multiple organizations. And they know that those are all actual goods that will be delivered very quickly and sustainably to those organizations. And then, you know, even like yesterday, Paul, I saw somebody, we just sent out a newsletter featuring, you know, five or six different needs. And one of them was for the funding for food that you're doing down in Bangladesh with the Rohingya. And, you know, so somebody checked out and put in their cart a $100 donation for you, and then, you know, five pairs of boots for Lesbos, you know, so they can kind of support people in different ways all on one platform.
Yeah, that's really nice, actually. That's lovely to hear. Yeah, you've been, your supporters, the platform's been a big supporter of what we're trying to do in Bangladesh. And I think it's even more helpful to have cash, because Bangladesh has got some very big tensions there between the local population and that huge influx of people, which is resulting in, you know, price of food is going up, wages are going down. And so there's obviously tensions there. And if we can buy things locally, that helps to ease it, even if only a little bit.
It's true. And part of what we're really looking to provide is data around that. So part of what happens is when we were doing kind of market research for Needs List, we were trying to understand, well, how much are all these organizations spending locally? And as you can imagine, it's impossible to find that out, because there's no central way where people are putting that information in. So what happens is when people start buying goods or funding food drives through Needs List, is we have all that information in one place, and we can really, you know, talk to decision makers and economists and really show the influence of the kind of the aid sector in the local economy and say, look, all of this money is going towards purchasing goods locally, and none of it is buying stuff from abroad and being sent in.
Your service is very much an e-commerce platform. It's a web-based product which is bringing together organizations providing services, goods and services, to refugees and donors who want to help support that. And I guess one of the features of that digital sector is that you need to fail fast and fail regularly.
Yes, you've done this before.
Can you talk to us about some of the failures?
Actually, one of my favorite failures was something related to your organization, Refugee Support Europe, and that was one of the first drives we did, or campaigns we did, was to support the purchasing of boxer underwear for men at the camps. And which camp was it? Do you remember? Was it in Ioannina?
Yeah, that was for Filipiada camp next to Ioannina. Yeah.
Okay, so we have an agreement with a supplier who's based in Policastro, just near Thessaloniki, who provides us with a lot of hygiene items, diapers and boxers. And so that's not such a far delivery. Of course, it's not ultra, ultra local, but we're just talking about a few hours. And somehow those boxers went back and forth between like the top of Greece to Thessaloniki before we finally found them. And so I'm not quite sure what happened there. But anyway, the point was, even in when you're buying local, things can get lost or missed along the way. And so we learned from that and are really work. Actually, one of the things we're building out right now is a chatbot. So a chatbot is basically just a text-based way of communicating your needs. So instead of getting right now, like if you want to create a list or update your list, you have to jump on our web platform, and it's really hard to do from your phone. And so the chatbot is going to be, we're starting off with Facebook Messenger, and then we'll branch out to things like WhatsApp and SMS. But you'll just be able to text in what you need using natural language. And it also means that when the boxers arrive, you can just take a quick pic and snap a picture with your phone and text it directly to needs list. So that'll update on your website and get communicated to the people who bought it. So those are some of the features that we're building out down the road to really ensure that there's great transparency and accountability along the supply chain.
One of the things that I sometimes get approached about, around a service like yours, is someone will approach us and say, you know, we've got this great solution that's going to employ artificial intelligence and blockchain technology. And I mean, it all sounds great. I know that it's probably the future is in AI and blockchain at some point. Yeah. I sometimes think, oh, you guys, you know, you're tech first and needs later. I don't know that it's ever going to be possible to deploy.
That's exactly right. I mean, if you get that, imagine how much we get it, right? So we have everybody thinking, why aren't you using blockchain? Or, you know, like, and the truth is, I mean, for a couple of reasons, but the fact is that the kind of basic technologies like e-commerce that we take for granted, you know, in the UK, I'm sure you use Amazon all the time to buy diapers for, you know, if your niece has a baby, why shouldn't we be able to buy diapers online for a baby in Greece as well? So there's some real basic technologies that it makes sense to use as a starting point before you go to all the sexy ones. So that was our approach. And then the reality is that all of that takes longer to build and it's much more expensive. So as a starting point, it wasn't where we wanted to start. Will we integrate it down the road? Absolutely. But for now, other than the lost boxers, we haven't really had trouble tracking supplies. As we build out and start using the model more with local suppliers in places like Bangladesh, that will become more necessary, and that's when we'll be able to build that in.
Yeah, because sometimes with an organization our size, it does all feel a bit homemade. So, you've got to deal with Metro in Greece, which is great because we go and spend quite a bit of money in Metro, stocking the free shop with things. But, you know, they can only stock so much yogurt. And, suddenly we get a rush on yogurt for some reason. And, very hard to predict that, but we get that. And then we can't go to Metro anymore. We've got to go to Lidl. And, it really is a matter of kind of driving to Metro, seeing what's on the shelves, seeing it's not there, getting back in the van, driving to Lidl or some other yogurt supplier, then driving back to the camp, and all this stuff, sometimes it needs to be done within an hour or two.
Wow. Yeah, exactly. And that's why we're hoping to streamline that process as much as possible. If you think about large NGOs, they all have people working on procurement locally, full time, right? And they send out tenders and bids and, they have their processes. But when you look at smaller organizations that are, like you said, a little more homegrown, they don't have those processes. And that's why if we can help really provide a service that way, that will be good.
It all feels quite ambitious, Tasha. Do you feel like you've bitten off more than you can chew sometimes? I mean, I certainly do with what we're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you probably feel this way too. One is it's... you're working on really urgent and emotional humanitarian issues. So trying to balance kind of growing an organization with not becoming cold to those issues can be really challenging, I think. And just the size and scale of the number of people that are going to be displaced as we look forward in the next few decades can just, that's where it starts to feel really overwhelming. But at the same time, that's part of what motivates us to know we have to find better solutions. And so, we have a lot of those small day-to-day successes where, somebody will send in an email thanking us, really saying they enjoy this experience, or we'll have new partners come on, or we'll see goods distributed that people bought from California, which is really, just the idea that like people from anywhere can buy things, all of that is really encouraging. But yes, it is ambitious. And, the only way that it's possible is because we've had really strong partners like yourself and other people that we've been working with.
And you mentioned the chatbot there and some of the other technology further down the line. Is there something specific you're working on at the moment?
Yeah, we just brought a great woman on to our team to test and develop this work in Puerto Rico that we're doing. So as you know, we really started out by focusing specifically on refugees in Europe. And since then, we've also been trying out NeedsList in a few different contexts. And one of those was resettlement in the U.S. And ideally, we'll do other countries as well. But following the kind of wake of natural disasters we had last August and September, we wanted to see if there was any way NeedsList could help on the ground in that kind of a situation. So we brought on Alana, who's not only been a community manager, she's also a developer. So she's prototyping this Facebook Messenger chatbot that will be rolling out in the next month or two in Puerto Rico and then Greece as well, where, as you know, that everybody uses Facebook pretty much for everything. So
NeedsList could be pretty broad in terms of the people that or the organizations are aiming to help. It's not just refugees then, is it?
No, it's not. I mean, we started out, and we've really had to kind of change our language accordingly too, because as you know, a lot of the people that are kind of lumped together as refugees are not actually, don't have refugee status. So we've been using displaced people as much as possible. Yeah. And now it's hard to find one word, but we're talking about people who are displaced by conflict or climate change or, really any kind of a reason. But I think the sweet spot for us is to find people who, where the needs are urgent, and that's where you really need, that's when people are motivated to give, so following the wildfires in California last summer, one of the organizations we're on our platform is the Schoolbox Project. Have you?
Yeah, we worked with Schoolbox at LM Village Camp near Killeen. Yeah, so I see they're also in Bangladesh now.
They just started in Bangladesh, and they're actually based in Sonoma. So they, of course, with their expertise in emergency and disaster management, rolled out a needs list immediately for their work locally following the fire. And there was a tremendous response because, we actually were working with Amazon there, so people could just buy goods directly and volunteer. And we had, I think, about $25,000 worth of supplies bought in that first week following the fire, because that's when people want to give. Like, they want to give right after the disaster. As you know, doing the donor fatigue around the refugee crisis has just been really tough, and I think that's why you're seeing a bigger response right now to the work you're doing in Bangladesh, because it's newer and people are motivated in the way that they aren't to give in Greece.
Yes, having to talk about new things or doing new activities, definitely key to engage people to motivate them to donate. And sometimes that's a little frustrating, because on the camps we're working at the moment, it's just maintaining a lot of what we're doing already, and I think there's huge value in that, but it's not as fresh and original for people who do need some quite strong motivation to put their hands in their pockets, understandably.
Yeah, exactly, and that's part of why we've decided to keep working with individual donors, as we have been for the last year, but really to reach out to businesses in 2018. And so what we did at the end around holiday giving for 2017 is we found a few companies who wanted to do a pilot with us, and we actually provided them with gift cards for their employees. So they paid for gift cards for their employees who could use them anywhere on the platform. So some of them, actually quite a few, donated to your organization through NeedsList that way. But what we're looking to do in 2018 is expand that. So not just for financial donations, but also because so many companies want their employees to have really kind of concrete ways to volunteer and to volunteer with organizations where it'll make a huge difference. So if you think about Refugee Support Europe, like a $500 donation obviously goes a lot further than it would to a large NGO. And it's the same thing with volunteer time. We were talking the other day and you were saying you could use some help, with your bookkeeping. So if we can find an accountant at a company that really wants to, can give a few hours a week on company time, that's a real win-win as well. And the companies are actually, what they've been telling us is that their employees are really demanding a new way of giving, and that they're tired of seeing these large companies just donate to the same olds all the time. They don't trust the large NGOs is the reality, and they want to be giving to these smaller NGOs, but they don't know how to find them.
well, find us. Because yeah, we can certainly spend it, and we can certainly be effective anyway. That's a nice positive. Maybe that's a nice positive note to end on, actually. Thank you very much. How can people find out more?
Sure, you can just jump online at needslist.co, and our contact information is on there. And yeah, we'd love to chat if you have ideas. As you said, Paul, we're growing and learning all the time. So let us know if you want to reach out or partner or donate or go shopping.
Thank you so much, Tasha. Thanks to you for everything you've done for us, and to all your supporters as well. And thank you for standing with refugees, and thank you to everybody listening. We talk to someone every week and make it available to download on Monday. You can subscribe on Podbean or iTunes. You can download it. You can find it on our website. Please tell us what you think. You can email me, paul@refugeesupport.eu. We're also on Facebook, Refugee Support Europe, Twitter, Instagram. I'm sure if you do a search, you'll find us on one of the many platforms where we try and have a presence. And if you have any suggestions about who we can talk to, then I'd also be interested to hear that as well. So thank you very much, everybody.